thy many blessings. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the wonderful privilege of allowing us to assemble together in thy house and in thy presence. We thank thee for Jesus that loved us so much that he gave his life that we might have life. And Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for the blessings of this day. We're thankful for the privilege of being able to come in fellowship one with another and with thee. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would lead us and guide us in all that we say and do. And Heavenly Father, also that you would be with those that could not be with us today, those that may be sick, we pray that you would be with in a special way. And Heavenly Father, those that are lost without Christ, we pray that you would burden their hearts, that they would open their hearts and let Jesus come in. Heavenly Father, for those that may be away on vacation, we pray that you'd watch over them and protect them and bring them safely back to us. We pray now as we assemble and praise thy name and worship thee in spirit and truth, that all that we say and do would be pleasing to thee. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So good to have you in our services this morning. We just pray that the Lord would bless you in a special way, that he would fill each heart, that we'd all be able to go away singing praises to the Lord, saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Just one or two brief announcements now at this time. Following the services this morning, those of you who didn't bring some food with you, I'm sure would like to leave early and go home and get your food ready and come again. So we're going to close the service a little early this morning to allow you time to do this. Do you think 30 minutes is sufficient for you to go and to pick up your whatever you want to bring and to return? I know that those that already have the food here, sometimes they get a little impatient if you keep them waiting over 30 minutes with food sitting there before. So you rush home and gather up your food and rush back, and we'll be waiting for you. But we'll try to start eating in about 30 minutes after the services are dismissed this morning. Wednesday evening, we invite you for our prayer meeting service. We'll be discussing and studying the 10th chapter of Mark. We'd like to have you come and be a part of that discussion and that study. Ask any questions you may have and make any comments you may like too. Are there other announcements that I may not be aware of at this time? If not, then would you take your hymn books and turn to hymn number 222. We'll ask you to stand on this one and ask the ushers to come on the last verse, and we'll receive the morning offering. Shall we stand?
Bye. fellow Lord, to receive these thy gifts that belong to you in your name. We pray.
Shall we stand as we sing our doxology? Thankful to have Mrs. Cook come and play for us today. We're always glad to have her in our services, and especially thankful to have her today to play for us, and to have Brother Frank with us again this morning to lead us as we sing. Brother Frank, would you lead us now?
At this time, Mrs. Cook will sing up.
course, beginning at 6:30. Worship services beginning at 7:30. We encourage you to come and be a part of these services. Would you turn in your Bibles now to the Gospel according to John, the 4th chapter. I would like to call to your attention first the last half of verse 50. The last half of verse 50 in chapter 4. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. As we go to God in prayer, Brother Arnett, would you lead us?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this privilege that I'm in tonight. We do thank you, Heavenly Father, for the one I'm at. We ask you to be with the ones that I've talked to, Heavenly Father, that is visiting. The ones that's on vacation, remote, Heavenly Father, and on sickness, and I heal everybody in this family. We ask you to be with Brother Drew this morning, and he breaks the bread of life. Give him the words.
The title of the message this morning is, What a Savior. Let us look again at verse 50, the words we just read a moment ago. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Today we have so many who claim to be believers, but yet do not believe. They question God's word, not meaning to, but nevertheless they do question God's word. This man, as he approached Jesus seeking his help, after Jesus had spoke to him and told him, so Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. This man did not hesitate. He did not stand to argue or to question Jesus. But as soon as Jesus spoke those encouraging words to him, the Bible says that he went his way. He believed the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, I can assure you this morning, when we read from God's word, or when God speaks to our heart, we need to accept it just as this man did. We need to believe it with all of our heart and not question it or fret about it. Look now at verse 46. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yea, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Isn't it just wonderful? Isn't it marvelous? Here this man came to Jesus in faith, and Jesus at this time was used to people seeking signs and wonders before they would first believe that he would do what they asked him to do. This man came with a love and a concern in his heart for his son. The Bible says that his son was sick at the point of death. And he came to Jesus sincerely, believing that Jesus was the answer, that Jesus could supply his need. And he came in a simple faith, believing that by asking Jesus to come and to see his son and to heal his son, that it would be done. Jesus pointed out to him that first he would expect to see signs and wonders, but this did not cause the nobleman who had came to Jesus to hesitate. He spoke to him again, and he said, Sir, come down ere my child die. Now this come down means to come back where he had already been, to come to another city, another place to see his son and to heal him. He was asking Jesus to leave the place where he was and to go back to see his son. And of course, Jesus, seeing this man's faith, he spoke these wonderful words, Go thy way, thy son liveth. Isn't that just wonderful? If we had a son or a daughter that was near death, and we had called upon God to spare this child, to heal this child, and God had in such a great way done what we had asked him to do, we ought to be willing to live for him and to praise him the rest of our days. Let us look for a few moments to John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Another great account of God's love, of the mercy that Jesus had upon those whom he came in contact with. Here was a man that certainly was laying there helpless, could not help himself, and seemingly there was no family or no loved one there to assist him into getting into the pool. So certainly he was in a helpless condition, and Jesus asked him the question, Wilt thou be made whole? Jesus perhaps is asking someone today, Wilt thou be saved? Wilt thou be made whole? And certainly this man had a desire to be made whole. He wanted to be healed. He wanted to be helped. And Jesus had compassion. He had love. He was concerned for him. And he told him to rise and take up his bed and walk. Oh, how great it is to have a Savior and to know a Savior. Savior, such as Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world. Then if you would like to turn to the fourth chapter of James, the fourth chapter of James. I have observed people from time to time, and it seems that there are so many that are looking for something for nothing. They are looking for a free pass or a free ticket. They do not seem to want to pay a price. And so it is today with the blessings of God. There are many today who are seeking, if I may use that term, there are those who are wanting a blessing of God, but yet they are not willing to pay the price. God wants to bless us. He wants our lives to be full and to be joyful. Certainly, He wants us to serve Him and to live for Him. Chapter 4 of James, verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Certainly, God does expect us to submit ourselves unto Him. He is very displeased when we ignore Him or when we take Him for granted. God expects us to approach Him through prayer often in our lives. He expects us to give Him the proper place in our lives. He expects us to honor Him by living for Him, by submitting ourselves unto Him, letting our lives count for Him. And then He tells us here, too, that we should resist the devil and he will flee from you. When we become indifferent, cold-hearted, careless, then this is when the devil comes in and has his way with us. We are as well to resist the devil as well as to submit ourselves unto God. When we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. I cannot find the words to express to you this morning. Perhaps some of you or most of you have experienced it. To express to you the joy, the great feeling, the contentment that comes from living close to God, striving to put God first in everything, trying to please God with your life, with your everything. Then over in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 13, a great man of God said these words, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We know, of course, and recognize that this is the words of Paul. And he wasn't bragging, if you may have that interpretation. He wasn't boasting about what he could do. But we need to look at it in a different sense. He was telling us what Christ could do with him. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Certainly, if we will look to the Lord for our strength, if we look to Him for our help in our time of need, if we will draw upon His strength and His wisdom, we can say too with Paul, that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Then in Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9, 10, 11, and 12, and 13. Romans 10, verses 9 through 13. Before reading these verses, I would like to make this comment. I read first to you of one that was concerned about his son that was near the point of death. And he came in faith in behalf of his son, seeking Jesus and his help and his love. And he found the answer. He found what he was looking for. Jesus supplied his need. And then I read to you a few moments later about another man, a crippled man that was unable to help himself. He was laying there helplessly as Jesus came by and saw his condition. Jesus asked him, did he want to be made whole? Certainly it was his desire. So Jesus told him, and this was the only help available. But he believed as he looked up to Jesus that help was there, that help was available, and he wanted this help. So as he looked upon Jesus, he said, certainly. And I can imagine this morning the words that he may have used on this occasion. I'm sure that this man must have begun to feel his heart pound heavily, feel his pulse beat rapidly. I'm sure that as he stood upon his feet, as he rose up and took his bed, certainly that the joy was so great. I'm sure he must have said to Jesus, yes, Lord, if you would but help me, I want to be made whole. I want to rise up from here. I want to be made whole and well. Would you help me? I'm sure that he must have praised the Lord after having received this great help. There are those today that are lost without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The Bible says that you receive not because you ask not. It says also that you receive not because you ask amiss. There are many today who would like to be saved. They don't want to remain lost. They want to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But they haven't had enough faith to ask Jesus to make them whole. They haven't had enough faith to ask Jesus to save them. They haven't had enough faith to believe that they could be saved. Listen as we read from the scripture in chapter 10 of Romans, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's so simple. Believing that if you confess your sins to God, that if you ask God's forgiveness for his mercy, that if you'll ask him to save that old lost soul of yours, just believing that when you call upon the name of the Lord, believing sincerely from the bottom of your heart that you can have eternal life, that your sins can be forgiven and blotted out forevermore, that you can know Jesus and life everlasting, just by simply believing and ask God to do it. But yet there are literally millions today do not even pause or do not even believe to stop and to think that calling upon the name of Jesus that they could be saved. There will be millions that will spend an eternity in hell because they failed to believe as these men that were healed were able to believe. Then there are those here this morning, surely, that have believed that Jesus saved. They know that Jesus saves. They have Jesus within their hearts. But here their faith has been blunted. Here they are limited. Here they need to take a new look. They need to have a greater faith. They need to say, as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We need to start believing more in God, believing that he will do what he says he will do. The precious word of God says, seek and shall receive, and yet we fail to seek, and we fail to ask, and we fail in all things because of this. Oh, how we need to have the faith that these men did. We need to start believing with all of our hearts that God is alive, that God is real, and God is listening and waiting for you to call upon his precious name. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray in these next few moments as a song of invitation is given, that if there be those here that need to make a decision, if there be those here without Jesus as their personal Savior, that they would only realize this morning that they need to call on thee. They need to confess their sins, repent of their sins, and they need to trust Jesus completely. And Heavenly Father, for those that are here that know Jesus, oh, how wonderful it would be if they could have the faith that these men had that we read. Oh, if they could only fully believe sincerely from their heart that God is a great God, that God is a living God, and that all things are possible with God. Lord, if they would only look to thee, trusting in thee completely. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. What song shall we sing? 164. As we stand to sing, the invitation is simply this. Has God spoken to your heart? Then you know what he wants you to do. It's entirely between you and God. Not between you and your neighbor, between you and the church, or you and the preacher, but it's between you and God. If he's spoken to your heart, would you do what he asked you to do? Would you come as we stand and sing?
Channel One over. This is Channel One over. This is Channel One over. And this is a tape of all the little cookies singing. Now, it turned out to be a Christmas tape. Mamu said a long time ago she wanted to hear him sing. It just happened that we got to it at this season. Oh, now a week or two ago, this is Saturday, the 20th of December, 69. Christmas week's coming up. Oh, while Barbara was here, we got over one afternoon, and we're going to record. But Sunday afternoon wasn't a good time. Cookie had been working the whole week on a cattle frame for a fella. Laura had been asleep, and she couldn't wake up. Franklin doesn't sing, and he was doing stunts on his little horse. Suzanne and Barbara, Suzanne was with us too. We all sat on the front porch. It's a nice, warm day, but they couldn't get together. So I left. I had it long. I had that big flat Krieg with the tape, and I left it and told them at their leisure just to record. Now, there's a vast difference in that first recording and this, so they worked on it. As far as the tape goes, it's nicely done. If I'd been there, I think I'd have held, for the children, I'd held the microphone up a little closer to them, but put them in a different order from the one Helen and Cookie suggested. Some of them sounded like any hymns would, almost. And Cookie wasn't proud of his, and he wanted his left out, but I'd like it. Now, to start with, she sang the White Christmas for Mamu.
Mamu, this is especially from you, from Helen.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children
Now this is the one we've been waiting for. Cookie. They call on Cookie for this one to sing the bass. But now the directions we had was to leave this one out. Apparently, Cookie or somebody didn't think it was up to par. Oh, I wouldn't leave this out for anything. I ought to get in there and sing bass with him.
Our next number, Tidy Rock of Ages.
Oh,
for a change, a Christmas song.
The one that's in Silent Night.
Such a variety.
You want to sing Battle Hymn of the Republic?
Wanted last at the end of the program is Ms. Holliday.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to our songs. We've had lots of fun making them. Now I'm going to sing the Lord's Prayer as we close this recording.
Thy kingdom.
Helen and her family recorded for Cindy Mamu.